Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, Unleashing the Power of God. Daniel was uprooted and forcibly taken to Babylon to serve a foreign king. The Bible doesn't record him being bitter about his circumstances. Instead, he clung to the Lord and God blessed him so greatly that he went from being a slave to co-ruler with King Nebuchadnezzar. This success did not last after Nebuchadnezzar died, and there was turmoil in Babylon as one man after another sought the throne. There were many palace coups during the next 23 years which left Daniel forgotten. And it wasn't until God confronted King Belshazzar that Daniel was called upon to provide the meaning of the mysterious writing on the wall. Daniel had an unlikely success story as God used him to repeatedly change the course of political events in the Babylonian Empire. While God allowed the Israelites to be conquered, he didn't abandon them in a hostile land, and Daniel's life is evidence of God's faithfulness in the midst of adversity. This message is entitled, Daniel's Rise to Power. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide on March the 1st, 2015. And I'm glad that you are here today, those who are in the chapel, and those that are watching and listening to us. I'm going to be speaking today on Daniel's Rise to Power. This is a series I'm doing on unleashing the power of God. And we're going to turn to the book of Daniel, and I'm going to start in chapter 3 to begin with. But let me just give you a background here to Daniel, chapter 3. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he became king in 605 B.C. He reigned until 562 B.C. for a period of 43 years. Daniel was taken to Babylon in 604, 1 year after Nebuchadnezzar took power. And he was trained for 3 years and began to serve King Nebuchadnezzar in 601. And when Belshazzar became king in 556 B.C., Daniel was around 66 years old. We knew he was a teenager when he came to Babylon, so we simply can give us a time here of his age. Now, Daniel was not included in the story of the three men and the fire furnace. And the reason for that was that he simply held a very high position. He was number two in the kingdom. He was in a palace, and he was not asked to go out and bow before this statue. And so, because of the rescue that we had of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar got a respect for God. But he had not made God his personal God. He simply kept his gods of demon gods that he had in Babylon on the side. And he simply tried to walk the fence. And you can't do that. And so we want to look upon here now how this man, Nebuchadnezzar, a heathen king, simply got moved upon and showed him who God is, and that he was converted to believe and worship the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's begin looking in Daniel chapter 3, verse number 28. And we read this. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servant that trusted in him, have changed the king's word, yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego should be cut in pieces, their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there's no other God that can deliver after this sort. Now that was a proclamation that he wrote that was sent out to all the provinces. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now, after he had done this, he simply now said, you know, this God of Israel, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is great, but he's not necessarily my God. And this is happening to a lot of people. They are sitting on the fence. They respect God. They believe in the Bible, but they have not made a profession of faith in Christ. Let's turn to chapter 4 now. In chapter 4, as this letter here was sent out, and I'm going to go down to verse number 19. Verse number 19 in chapter 4. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and he thought troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream and interpretation now trouble you. But the Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate you, and the interpretation thereof to your enemies. If you read it in a chapter before, early in the chapter, the king had a dream. And he saw a tree, he saw it cut down, he saw holy watchers. And he couldn't understand what it meant. And he had his soothsayers, the astrologers, and everybody else come and simply said, interpret the dream. And they could not do that, because this dream was from God. And they needed a spiritual revelation. It had to be in the supernatural. Now when Daniel heard him give the dream, and of course he was given interpretation, he was troubled, because you got to understand now that in those days, the king was supreme. If you said a word against the king, or you gave him bad news, he simply would just give a little sign to his bodyguards like this, and the guy would get a 12-inch haircut. So here, this is bad news. The bad news of this, God said, you're going to lose your mental faculties. They're going to drive you out. You're going to be like a beast. You're going to eat the grass. You're going to lose your kingdom. That's not something you want to go up and tell the king, you know. Here's the deal. You're going to lose your throne. So Daniel simply was troubled. But then he interpreted a dream. Have you read from verse 20? The tree that you saw, which grew and was strong, whose height reached into the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all, and in which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon its branches the fowls of the heaven had an inhabitation. It is you, O king, that are grown and become strong, for your greatness is grown and reaches unto heaven, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven, and saying, you down the tree, destroy it, yet leave the stump of the root thereof in the earth, even with a head of iron, band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, that be wet with the dew of heaven, let the portion be with the beast of the field, till 7 times pass over him. The Bible here tells us that there are holy watchers. And this is something that God showed me years ago. And in a chapter before, we didn't read that today, it said a holy watchers are holy angels. God is ruling this universe through his angels and through the Holy Spirit. The angels, the holy watchers, used the Bible, the Word of God, God's laws. They simply execute judgment according to the Word of God. The problem is that they are not always meting out judgment immediately. Because God is slow to anger, slow to wrath, and he gives people time to repent. So when people sin and they think they get away with it, they think, well, you know, God is not concerned. God is giving you time to repent. But there come times when the word is given and the holy angels will move into action. Then he gave the interpretation. And this is interpretation, O King, and this is a decree of the Most High, which is coming upon my Lord the King, that they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with a beast of the field. They shall make you to eat grass as oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven. 7 times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomsoever he wills. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, that your kingdom shall be sure unto you, after that you shall have known that the heavens do rule. He simply said, now, supernaturally, when you lose your, when you become insane, they would drive you out. But you're not going to lose your kingdom. We're going to look later in this message, after Nebuchadnezzar died, how they fought for 23 years, and they murdered and killed one another to get power. It was a miracle that no one usurped his throne, that no one took power and said, this guy has gone nuts. Let's take it over, and let's rule Babylon. It was preserved. And it was preserved through the prophet Daniel. God had to rise to power. He ruled it until Nebuchadnezzar had repented. This is what will happen to you and me. God is not sentimental. God is love, but he's not sentimental. If you are not saved and he's drawing you, he will use whatever means it takes to bring you to repentance. God does not care if you lose your house. God does not care if you lose your job. God does not care if you lose your health. Whatever it takes to break you, he will break you. He's a merciful God. I'm thankful he did that for me. Because I'd rather be broken and receive Christ than have a great life and die and go to hell. If you're in a backslidden condition, don't think that he has forgotten you. Don't think that he simply says, okay, we're going to put them on a back burner. You're not on a back burner. He's watching you. He's working on you. And when he sees that you're not responding to his love, he would simply then take a 2x4. If that is not enough, he would take a 4x6. And if that is not, he would get a beam. But he will get your attention one day. And you want to repent before you lose everything. You don't want to wait until everything is wasted and says, okay, God, I'm coming home. Want to repent before he has to strip everything you have, in order to bring it to your knees. Now Daniel warned King Nebuchadnezzar. He says, wherefore, King, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of your tranquility. So Daniel simply said, King, and be prudent for you to repent. Repent of your sins. Take care of the poor. He could do that as a king. And prolong your happy life. Why is it that we are so stubborn? For some reason, we have a stubborn streak and we say, well, it's going to be my way or the highway. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar had seen the fire furnace. He'd seen three men throw in there. He'd seen the fourth man like the Son of God come and save them and bring them out safely. He knew there was a God. He knew this was the right interpretation. And this is the way it is with many of us. You know the Bible. You know what's right. You know what is wrong. You know what you should do. But you never get around to it. And the reason for that is, you're bound by demons. You're bound by lust. Or you're simply saying this, you know, I care more for my worldly things than I do for anything else. I just read this morning from a Christian source. We have this guy, Larry King. Most of us here in the United States know Larry King. He is a Jewish, but he's an atheist. He does not believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's an atheist. He simply said this, when life is over, that's it. So he has made a will. And his will is this. When I die, I want them to deep freeze my body and put me in a vault. He says, I know there's no life after death, but he said, in the future, they will come up with a cure, the reason I die. They can unthaw me, cure me, and I come back to life again. That's Larry King. That's his theology. The sad thing is this. When he dies, holy angels will be there, picking up his soul, taking him straight to hell. It doesn't matter how much they deep freeze his body, he will never go back there. You die without Christ, you go to hell without Christ. Later, the lake of fire. It's amazing. Now, Larry King is a rich man. A lot of people have lots of money, lots of things. But you're not going to take it with you. Listen to this now. And all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. God gave him 1 year. 12 months. Nothing happened. Did he repent? No. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, then fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you. They should drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with a beast of the field. They should make it eat grass as oxen. 7 times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. The same hour, with the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, he was driven from men, did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, his nails like bird's claws. And that's how he lived for a time, a period, we don't know how long. He lost his mental faculties. He became insane. And finally, one day, God returned his sanity. And he must have looked upon, see the hair coming all over his place. Looked upon his fingernails as claws. And at that time, he remembered the prophecy spoken by Daniel. At that moment, he realized it is now or never. I either repent now, or it would be over forever. And listen what he said. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven. My understanding returned unto me, and I blessed him with high. And I praised and honored him that lived forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. He confessed him as his Lord, as his God. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he does according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, why do you do this? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counsel of my Lord sought unto me, and I was established my kingdom, and excellent majesty were added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, whose works are truth, his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he's able to abase. He was restored. Now, you and I can be restored if we have backslidden. And if you have not backslidden, your prayer should be this, that you simply are able to focus on the Lord on a daily basis and walk with him in forgiveness, in repentance, and in humbleness. On your outline, I wrote this about turmoil in Babylon. For 23 years, there was turmoil there, and there were intrigues. One king got murdered, another came up, another one murdered, and so on. And finally, one guy was able to consolidate it, and he was on a throne for a number of years. The last king to rule up there was Nabonidus, and he had his son Belshazzar. Now, the father didn't like Babylon. He was a high priest of highly occult worship. He lived outside. He worshipped his god. And Belshazzar was a king in Babylon. He actually was running the kingdom. And if you turn up to Daniel chapter 5, this is a 23-year break here now for Nebuchadnezzar. And here now we have Belshazzar, an ungodly man that did not acknowledge God. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines, might drink therein. He simply not wanted to desecrate what was for the temple of Jerusalem. He ordered in the cups, the vessels, and he said, we're going to drink, we're going to desecrate this. We know that this was used in the temple to worship the God of Israel, but we are going to use it in a drunken brawl party. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his prince, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold, and of silver, and of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand. And he wrote over against the candlestick, over the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him. So the joints of his loins were loosed. His knees smote one against another. He got sober quickly. He saw that hand. He realized, this is something bigger than the demon gods I'm worshiping. Something is happening here, out of my control. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof, shall be clothed with scarlet, have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled. His countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not your thoughts trouble you. Let your countenance be changed. There is a man in your kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And the days of your father, light, understanding, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, I say, your father made master of the magician, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge, understanding, interpretation of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, he will show you the interpretation. Isn't it sad that Belteshazzar's wife did not talk to her husband a long time ago and say, you know, Belteshazzar, you're not doing too good. Why don't you get Daniel out? Why don't you make him your head counselor? Why don't you learn about the Most High God? But she was foolish. She had a good time. Lots of money. Lots of partying. But in time of need, she said, call on this man. This is going to happen to many of you that are here in the chapel. You that are watching or listening. We're coming down into the end times. God is calling us out. I'm going to be speaking a few moments about the gifts on that. And they might not reveal you now. You might be lambasted at this time. You might be thought as a crackpot, an idiot, a Jesus freak. But a day will come when there will be a lot of pain in this country and in the world. There's going to be a lot of trouble. And they will remember you. And they will say, you know, there's a God living up here. He was serving God. He was praying. He was always tranquil. He had the word of God. Let's seek him out. There was a lady over there, and she always talked about God. She was always happy. Let's seek him out. They're going to come to you. And they're going to say, everything is shaking around us. Nothing is stable. Tell us about your God. Tell us about the Bible. Give us hope. You'll be able to stand up and say, thus says the Lord God Almighty. And you'll be able to quote the scriptures. And tell them if you repent, God will save you. This day is coming. We carry a book here called Ought to Pray. I talked about it some time ago, but I want to mention it one more time. Otto Reichert was a German soldier in World War II. He was only about 18 years old when he got drafted into Hitler's armed forces. At the age of 20, he was on the Eastern Front. He started fighting. He was south of Finland on an island just between Finland and Estonia. when it started going bad for the Germans, he fought all the way through Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and he was captured by the Russians in Poland. Now, to those of you who have been in combat, you know this. Combat is chaos. It's hell. It's confusion. Wednesday, artillery comes in. The grenades are falling. The shooting takes on. There's just pandemonium. It's organized chaos. And people are dying left and right. Otto was a Christian. He did not want to go to war. He was forced to go to war. And his buddies realized that wherever Otto was, there was no incoming fires, no artillery fires, no mortars fell where he was. And after a few battles, they realized that the buddies were dying over here, but where Otto was, there was no incoming fire. And they clustered around him. And then they realized that when he prayed, the fire stopped. So most of the time when they fought themselves back toward Germany, Otto was told every time, don't shoot Otto. Pray. Get on your knees and pray. And that's what he called his book, Otto Pray, Otto Pray. He was captured by the Russians. They got a ship in Siberia. And he prayed. He was able to slip away. And made it into what is called East Germany at that time. He was captured a second time. A second time God helped him. And he made it back to West Germany. And he was saved. I met Otto. My wife and I have been to their homes. We had them here. I heard his story. It's a real story. It's not something I read in a book. I printed his book. But he told me the story. He told me how it was on that front. God is able, in the middle of combat, to create a safety zone that no one can violate. And his body saw that. This is why you want to practice right now. This is why you want to increase your prayer life. This is why you want to fast from time to time. This is why you want to increase your Bible knowledge. Because a day will come when they will ask you, can you pray? Can you pray? The day is coming. Then was Daniel brought before the king. And the king spake and said to Daniel, are you that Daniel, which are the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jerusalem? He was 66 years old now. And I've heard of you, that the spirit of the gods is in you, that light, understanding, excellent wisdom is found in you. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me. They should read his writing and make known to me the interpretation of it, but they could not. Show the interpretation of the thing. And I heard of you, that you can make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if you can read the writings, make known to me the interpretation. The officers should be clothed with scarlet, have a chain of gold about your neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. How would you see Daniel, that was no longer a young man. 66 years old, probably white hair. He looked around. In that banquet hall, a lot of drunk men and women got sobered up and were scared looking at him. King, like a little boy, something said, can you do something for me? And he realized, this man's going to die. He's going to die. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be to yourself. Give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O you king, the most high, God Nebuchadnezzar, your father, kingdom, majesty, and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nation, languages, tremble and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, whom he would set up, and whom he would put down. But when his heart was lifted up, his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and he took his glory from him. He was driven from the sons of men, his heart was made like the beast, his dwelling was with the wild asses, they fed him with grass like oxen, his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men, and that he appoints over it whomsoever he will. And you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you know all of this. He said, Belshazzar, you are without excuse. But you lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. You have brought the vessels of his house before you. You and your lords, your wives and your concubines, had drunk wine in them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold and brass, iron, wood and stone, which see not, nor hear not, know, and the God whose hand your breath is, and whose are all your ways, have you not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and his writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Up, Harrison. This is the interpretation of the Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you are weighed in the balance and are found wanting. Peres, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded by Belshazzar, they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold around his neck, and made a proclamation concerning that he should be the third ruler of the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. As they had a feast, we know through archaeology, the river Euphrates was running through Babylon. And the Medes, the Persians, had worked for a long time. They built a dam. They diverted the river, built a dam. And at night, the river was dry. And the army of the Persians went in on the riverbed into Babylon. And Belshazzar died that night at the sword. His life over, done, finished. What can you and I do? What's a summary here? I want to take you to Hebrews 11, 1 through 4. That's Hebrews chapter 11. And the first 6 verses. Daniel was not shook. King Darius had come in. Knew about Daniel. Daniel became the second in command under the Persian king Darius. Daniel simply moved from one king to the other, but he maintained power. But let's read here from Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying with gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks. By faith Enoch was translated, should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith. Faith in God. 2 years ago, in the month of March, we had a destruction of the church, Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. We had men and women that were dissatisfied over music, over things, and infighting, destruction, and the church was destroyed from within. We lost the facilities. We lost 70% of the people walked away. We had a handful of people. Financially, we were done. We didn't have a base powerful enough to survive. And we simply prayed and said, God, what do we do next? And God simply said, regroup and rebuild. My nephew Charles Terrell, my brother Peter Terrell, my elders and others gathered, and we had to retreat, quickly get out. I realized there'd be no webcast for some time. And I went down a broken man and recorded 8 or 9 videos so we could run them on the internet while we were down. We came to the production center in shambles. In 2 years, we've been up now for a year and a half. But in 2 years, God has rebuilt this ministry. We are stronger today than we have ever been. We are reaching more people than we ever have done before in our lives. We're having deliverances continually as people are coming from far and near to be delivered to set free from demons. Financially, God rebuilt it. We had people that died that had been with us for years, and God replaced them. You very seldom hear me now go and ask for money. The reason for that is that God has rebuilt our base. Christian, Laura, and Michelle are the first 3 out of 10 that I asked for a year ago. The others are coming. I don't know where they're coming from, but they will show up one day and say, I'm 1 of 10. This is just the beginning. Now, here's what God wants to do with you. He wants to rebuild your life. Some of you right now are doing fine. Praise the Lord. He wants you to do better. Some of you have crashed. Some of you are struggling. And some of you are saying, what is God going to do with me? God wants to do some great things. Now, I want to say one thing that I was going to say to Christian when we had the dedication today. But I want to say it to you now. And to all of you that are coming to be licensed. I've had a privilege of living in a time when the Bible was somewhat revered in America. I've lived in a time when there was respect for the church. But the time is going to come, Christian, and to those of you that God calls into the ministry in the future, that you're going to be spit upon. You're going to be lambasted. You're going to be required to perform weddings of men and men and women to women. You're going to be asked to do a lot of things that is biblically wrong, that God says is sin. You're going to have to stand up and say, in the name of Jesus, I will never perform a wedding between a man and a man. I will never do that. I will never bless this if it is women to women. Homosexuality is a sin. It has been a sin. It is a sin, and it will be a sin. It will not change. You can have a tougher life than I've had. You could have to fight much harder. But the good news is, the harder the fight, the greater the anointing. The more Satan pours on, the more God pours out on his side. And there's going to be an anointing. I want to take you right now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Have you picked it up for the first 11 verses? And this is for all of us. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are many gifts, but the same Holy Ghost. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Every man and woman, boy and girl, who is saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, have these gifts. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these works, the one and the certain Spirit, divided into every man, severally, as he will. Daniel flowed to the top because he had a gift of wisdom, the gift of interpretation. He flowed to the top. Expect God's best. Don't sell yourself short. The Bible says God is not a respecter of persons. He's not a respecter of persons. What he does for one, he will do for the other. I remember April 16th, 1967, in a church service at Central Baptist Church in Salt Lake City. I walked forward and told the pastor of the congregation that I was called into the gospel ministry. And I was licensed. I was an engineer. Didn't speak English that well. Born in Sweden. And I remember afterwards, I asked myself this, and I asked people, what do I do next? And no one told me what to do. We had one, there was a one deacon church. It's a small church. He's about the same age as mine. Also an engineer. He was also in the army, was a lieutenant at the time. He came up to me and laid his hand upon my shoulder like this. He said, John, he said, don't have too big ambitions. You don't speak the language that well. You don't know about the gospel that much. He says, you're not going to amount to a whole lot. But, try to do something for the Lord. That was my encouraging word for the one deacon we had in our church. Did I know what God was going to do with me? No. I had not the foggiest idea. But I knew one thing. I was called. And I knew I loved the Lord. And you don't have to be licensed to be called by the Lord. If you love the Lord, and you're determined in your heart to serve Him, then what you need to do is to simply say, I'm going to clean up my life. I'm going to declare spiritual bankruptcy. I'm going to declare spiritual bankruptcy and say, God, rebuild me. Break me down. Rebuild me. And make me into the man and the woman you want me to be. You might already have surrendered like that. You might already be moving in that. They begin to say, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to move in these different gifts. Daniel rose to the top. You and I can rise to the top, to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We just got to remember, He is the giver of the gifts. You are the recipient. You are a light bulb. A light bulb in itself is no good. It's just a light bulb. But you put the light bulb in a lamp. You hook the lamp up to the electric outlet, which is hooked up to a generator, power outlet. And suddenly the light is coming through. The light bulb has no light. It is given to it, but it has a capacity to give the light. You are a light bulb. The Holy Ghost is the power. You get plugged into the Holy Ghost, and you will begin to glow, and you will begin to have the power. And the more you use it, the more He's going to pour into you. What are you going to do? Are you going to believe God? When He simply said this, you can have all these gifts. Again, I'm going to say this, read this to you. With all these works, that one of the same Spirit, dividing every man severally, as He will. God is speaking to you today. It doesn't matter how you began your life. What matters is how you end it. How are you going to end your life? Victorious? Are you going to be able to say, I used everything I had to fight for Lord Jesus Christ? The decision is yours. And today, if you're watching and you're not saved, and you say, well, you know, I heard about Christianity. I really want to get saved. Here's what I want you to do. In a few moments, when we are finished here, Charles Terrell will come. You will not see his face, but you will hear his voice. He will tell you in 10 minutes how to get saved. He will lead you in a prayer of salvation. You pray with him, and you will be saved. Then contact us. Let us know so we can pray with you and send you some stuff that we can help you with. If you're a saint and you're watching me today, you might, I don't know where you are in the world, and you're realizing this, I'm one of the 10. Call us. Write us. If you simply say this, God has called me today to serve Him more. I want to learn more. And what you need to do is this. Just say this. My Heavenly Father, forgive me for wasting my time. Help me not to surrender. Help me to surrender. And I give myself to you. And God will take you up. He will do something with you. In 1965, my wife and I were sitting in our home in Salt Lake City. We were watching a Billy Graham crusade that he was running on television. I had not spoken to my wife. She didn't speak to me. And as Billy Graham stopped preaching and he began to give the invitation, he put his finger out like this and said, you there that are watching my television. You might be in a bar, you might be in a home, wherever you are. You can make a decision like these people walking forward here if you pray and ask God to forgive you and ask the sinner's prayer. I closed my eyes. My wife closed her eyes. There was no one in the room except the Holy Ghost and God's holy angels. And I prayed a feeble prayer in my mind. And I said, oh God, forgive me of my sins. Oh God, forgive me for all the bad things I've done. I believe, Jesus, you're the Son of God. You died on the Calvary. Save me. Come into my life and save me. In Jesus' name, I prayed. Silently. God heard that prayer. in the month of May, 1965. Afterwards, I was dazed, didn't know what to do, didn't think much about it. But you see, when you make that decision, the word was given in heaven, Book of Life. Angels were dispatched, protect him and his wife. The Holy Ghost was given orders, guide them and lead them. And he led us step by step. You make a decision today. It's sealed in heaven. Don't worry about what you're going to do next. God will knock on your door. There will be divine appointments. There'll be people coming into your life. There'll be things happening to you. And before you know it, you can look back and say, I made a decision March 1st, 2015. And man, did I have a ride as the Holy Ghost ministered to me. Will you give him today your life and your decision to follow him? If you do it, he will take you up and something great will happen to you. Thank you for coming. I'm going to ask Brother Thomas Vatna to come and close in prayer. And you contact us, and we'll be glad to minister to you. And I'll be back next Sunday, God willing. God bless you.
Father God, thank you for the word. Thank you for the great blessing it is just to have that in our midst, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we can go through the Bible and apply it to our life, Lord. We thank you, Father, for these men of God that stood before us thousands of years ago. And we just give you praise for that. We thank you for leading and guiding us on our way, Lord. And also, Lord, I want to lift up several situations that I believe you want me to pray for. One of them being the California Republican Party is having a convention this weekend. And on the agenda is the so-called log cabin Republicans. These are the homosexuals that want to be part of the Republican Party. And they're asking for a special recognition that they can enter as their homosexual group. And I thank you, Father God, that that's going to be defeated. And I know they're voting on that today. I thank you for it being defeated, that the Republican Party will not commit suicide today in California. And then also, Lord, I want to lift up this lady. I don't know her name. She's a florist in the state of Washington. And they have come out against her because she refused to do flowers for the homosexuals there. And the city attorney and the mayor, I believe, have got her in the crosshairs, Lord, to make an example of her. And I thank you, Father God, that you would send in an attorney that would represent her pro bono, and also that she would be the victor, and that those that have targeted her will be picking up the pieces, Lord, realizing they came up against the wrong Christian lady. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for a victory in that situation. I also want to lift up Sheriff Richard Mack to you, who suffered a heart attack about a month ago. And the California Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association that he leads. I thank you, Father, that You would strengthen that organization with constitutional sheriffs. And we ask that you would bring Sheriff Max Health back and restore it. But more than that, that he will use this time to get well acquainted with his Bible. And I thank you, Father, that those that have targeted the office of the sheriff will realize that they're going to have a very, very, very strong fight on their hands. And I thank you for, I'm lifting up America basically right now. And I thank you, Father, for us, for our side, to win some battles. And I also want to lift up the situation with the weather, the rain, the weather modification. And I thank you, Father God, that those of us that live and walk in your ways, Lord, that there will be an ample water supply for us. And I come against their destruction program and their control program with this man-made drought. And I thank you, Father, that on this little piece of land right here, that the water will just come up out of the ground and water the lawn, that the well will be overflowing. For those of us that live in the city, that our water containers will be refilled supernaturally, whether they're pools, whether they're pitchers, whatever, that we can rest assured that there will be no drought for the believer. And I thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you.
In Romans 5, 7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with his shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that he sent his own Son to pay a debt he did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past. And there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 13th part in the series, Unleashing the Power of God, and was entitled, Daniel's Rise to Power. The Lord showed King Nebuchadnezzar a dream that left him perplexed, and only Daniel was able to recount the dream and its warning. Nebuchadnezzar recognized the Lord's hand upon Daniel, and just like Joseph in Egypt so many years before, God ruled Babylon through Daniel until Nebuchadnezzar passed away. There were many palace coups during the next 23 years that left Daniel forgotten and pushed aside as one man after another sought the coveted throne. All that changed under the reign of King Belshazzar, when God wrote a message on the palace wall that left the king terrified and baffled as to its meaning. Daniel was no longer a young man, and his bold warning of impending judgment fell on deaf ears. The power of God can manifest itself in various ways. Daniel had an unlikely success story as God used him to repeatedly change the course of political events in the Babylonian Empire. While God allowed the Israelites to be conquered, He didn't abandon them in a hostile land, and Daniel's life is evidence of God's faithfulness in the midst of adversity. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1485. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.